You'll see it. I think it's on a red cart, isn't it, Nan, in the narthex? Just grab one of those bags for your kids. Next couple Sundays, I want to talk about growth, spiritual growth. I want to talk about your faith growing. And I guess the reason that this has come to me, I've written about this, I've messages years ago, like 10 years ago, and I kind of got into those again. I guess it's because watching my daughter, Jessica, grow as with a little Epha inside her over these past 9 months, and then to experience the birth of that little one, and as she's going to begin to grow and change. I've been thinking about that and thinking about my own life and my own faith. So that's what kind of prompted me to do this, and I hope that you are challenged by it. A guy by the name of Richard Evans said this. I love this quotation. He said, "The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that it takes so long to begin it." You know, I've talked to so many people over the years that come to Christ, maybe in their adult years, and almost without exception, they'll tell me how they wasted their youth. And how they wish they had come to know Jesus when they were a child or a teenager or in college, you know. Because they feel like all those years they didn't get it. And when Christ turned the light on and came into their life, that's when life really began for them. And before that, they were just kind of beating their head against the wall. So the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that it takes so long to begin it. To grow up into Jesus Christ. You know, we waste a lot of life, don't we? I do. Waste a lot of time in immaturity. I mean, when you think about it, it is vast to grow up into Christ, isn't it? I mean, think about that. To grow up into Christ, to think like He thought, to prioritize life the way He did, to love like He loved, to speak truth boldly and confidently yet gently like He spoke, to make disciples like He did, to grow to challenge people like He did, to avoid what He avoided, to meet needs that He met, to accomplish the purpose of life in line with what He accomplished, to lead like He led. You consider yourself a leader this morning? I think a lot of discipleship is we grow up into Christ to become leaders. Influencers of other people. That's what leadership is. It's influence. To lead like He led. To relate like He related. To worship and pray like He worshiped and prayed. To teach what He taught. To humble Himself like He humbled Himself. That's all like growth, you know. That's like daunting when you read the Gospels and begin to really see the human God-man, Jesus Christ, and to say that's what God wants to make me into, a guy like that, a girl like that, it's incredible. So I'm going to say it again in light of growing in Christ. The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that it takes so long to begin it. Listen, if you're alive in Christ, look at me. You are called to grow. You are called to grow up in Him. But that is such a vast distance between where we are and where He is. You know what I mean? Between who we are and who He is. Sometimes that distance we get overwhelmed by that. I can never. But of course, you got to remember, it's impossible. That's why God saved you, because it takes His energy, His power, His truth to make that transformation. So when we say, get discouraged by our lack of growth, do you think that comes from the flesh or from the spirit? That comes from the flesh. We are called to grow. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things, what's it say? Grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, we are to crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may what? Grow up in your salvation. When it comes right down to it, if you are really and truly a born-twice believer, listen, then I'm not going to say you should grow. I'm going to say you will grow. You will grow. Because if something is alive, what do living things do? They grow. And they don't have to think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just part of being alive. And that's how it is in Christ. If you're really truly a born twice believer, you'll grow, because if something's alive, it's growing. And maybe today, just maybe today, the things that you look at in your life as overwhelming and painful, just maybe today, those are the things that are the fertilizer that's going to cause you to grow. Only dead things don't grow. So let's look at what it means to grow. What is growth? Or maybe a better question is this: what does it mean to be alive? Say that with me. That's the question on the table. You ready? What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to be alive? Now, most of you know I used to teach biology, and one of the very first lessons that I taught every year in the biology room was the physical answer to that very question. Chapter 1, the characteristics of life. What does it mean when we say that something is alive? That was my first lesson every year. And there are 7 characteristics I used to teach in the physical realm. Jesus often used the illustrations of living things to parallel spiritual truths, and that is where we're going to be challenged today in the same way, okay? So I'm putting together 2 passions of my life, the scriptures and the biological sciences, and we're going to bring them together today and bring out a challenge to this question: what does it mean to be alive? Now, often when I teach and when I taught in the classroom, I take the first letter of a list of keywords and try to make a word or phrase out of them. I think it's called, what is that, Cheryl? Where's your acronym? Yeah. It's an acronym. It helps kind of it's a way to remember, you know, each point. And that's what I did with these 7 characteristics of life. And here is that phrase. It is go racer. Oh, I thought you'd say it. Okay. Ready? Go racer. That's my acronym. I'll just tell you what it stands for. You ready? G stands for grow. All living things grow. O stands for organized, because all living things are organized. Now, Nan probably thinks that's not the case, but I'm talking in the life sense, not in the living sense, okay? Because sometimes I get pretty disorganized. Look at my office. No, don't do that. But anyway, O stands for organized, and then R stands for respond. All living things respond to stimuli. A stands for adapt. All living things adapt to their surroundings. C stands for cells. All living things are made up of cells. E stands for energy. All living things use energy. And R stands for reproduce, because all living things reproduce themselves. And what I want to do is take a look at each of these in light of our high calling in Christ Jesus and bring those physical characteristics of living things into the spiritual realm, because they parallel each other real well. Let's start with the first one. We've already said this. All living things grow. It's kind of common sense, isn't it? I just planted some stuff in my garden. Guess what's happening? It's growing. It's true in the Christian life, too. If you're not growing, either you're not alive or you're soon not to be alive. In other words, you're dying. Is your faith dying today? I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking about your faith. And you know, that's kind of a, faith, what is that? It's simply, are you believing what God has revealed and putting that to practice? Are you active in that in your life? That's what faith is. I learn something new about who God is and what He calls me to, about my salvation. And then I go out and put that into my life. I act on that. And I see what God does with that. That's what I'm talking about, your faith growing. Is your faith growing or is it dying today? If it is, listen to what Jesus said. John 11:25, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Don't miss that. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? There's your starting point of faith right there. That life itself is in Jesus Christ. If you feel like you're not growing, I would suggest maybe you need to spend some time at the feet of Jesus, put all the other crud and busyness of your life aside for a moment, and open up a Bible, sit at His feet, and say, why? Lord, I don't think I'm growing. Show me what it is in me that is blocking the living water of your Spirit and keeping me stunted in my growth. Show me that. He will. Because all living things grow. The next letter is O. All living things are organized. If you look inside a cell, I saw a special on Nova, I think it was a Nova special last week, something on TV at some point. They were talking about von Leeuwenhoek. He's the guy that invented he's the first guy that invented a microscope. It's about this big, what he invented. It was awesome. I'd never seen one before. I knew von Leeuwenhoek invented the microscope. His was this little metal thing. It had two plates of metal screwed together, and he had this little tiny bit of round ball of glass that was in between those sheets, and he had just a pinhole through that glass thing, and then on the other side of it, he had a little post, and he put a drop of water on the top of that post, and he could look through that little pinhole through that glass, and it magnified it 200 times. That was the first microscope, and it opened the world. Before that, everybody thought, there's your arm. That's it. Arm, it's what it is. It's your arm. They didn't know that was made up of cells. They didn't know anything about the microscopic world. They didn't know cells. They didn't know what was inside a cell. They just thought stuff was. Von Leeuwenhoek looked through that pinhole, and he saw in the water, swimming little critters that he couldn't see with the naked eye. And he could see through those critters, and inside those critters, he could see organelles and things going on inside, too. And that opened up the world of cell biology for the first time, von Leeuwenhoek. And they started to be able to see that, wow, there's some organized stuff, complicated things going on inside the cell. Incredible complexity designed to accomplish the specific task for which that cell is intended. Let me give you an example. In our body, red blood cells, what do? They carry oxygen. That's all they do. That's the one thing they do. Hemoglobin. They're chock full of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin latches onto oxygen, and they carry that oxygen all throughout the human body. That's their purpose. They don't even have a nucleus. They're unnucleated, so because that would take up valuable space, reducing the capacity then to carry that oxygen. That's just one example. Now, there's all sorts of types of cells throughout your body. All these different cells are organized together into what's called tissues. Tissues are then organized together into things that are called organs. Your skin is an organ, your liver, your pancreas, your stomach, you know, organs. Organs then come together, they're organized into systems like your circulatory system, your nervous system, your skeletal system, all that. And at each level of that organization, it starts with the cells, tissues, organs, organ systems. There is a focused purpose for which the cell, the tissue, the organ, the system is designed. There's a central task around which all the pieces do their part. It's a functional, structural organization. Now let me ask you about your life in Christ on the heels of that. All living things are organized. Do you find in your relationship with Christ a central theme and purpose around which your life is organized? Is everything you do, from your job to your family to your recreation, is it organized around life experience in Christ Jesus and for His purpose? Let me just sum up the Christian life for you toward such a purpose that requires the miracle of transformation to have a life and a soul that's organized to this point. You ready? It's very simple. It's very broad. Okay, you can handle the specifics yourself. But the breadth of the organization, the organizing principle, we should be all about this. Number one, love God and love your neighbor. That's the great commandment. That's how Jesus summarized the whole ball of wax in the law, in the prophets. Love God and love your neighbor. Organize your life around that. Everything you do should be about loving God and loving people. Secondly, make disciples. That's the great commission. Matthew 28. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's the best way you can love people, is make disciples. You don't need anything else as far as a purpose for walking the crust of this earth. If you're alive in Christ, organize your life around the same things that were important to Jesus. Yeah, we got different gifts, but whatever your gift is, it should be involved in that same purpose. It should be active in that same purpose. And if you're not organized in this way, if you find yourself running hither and yon for this, that, and the other thing, whatever, and sometimes we don't even know why we're doing the things we do. We don't have a purpose. We have certain expectations. Other people think of us, so we respond to those. And certain expectations of the church, so we respond to that. And certain expectations of society, so we do that. And we don't even have, we're just doing, you know. We're just doing, running around with this on spiritually. We have no idea what's going on. If you're alive in Christ, organize your life around the same things that were important to Christ. And if you're not organized in that way, let me tell you something. I believe that's why you have a sense of deadness within you if you do. Romans 8:20 says, 8 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been what? Called according to his purpose. All living things are organized. I hope when you look at your life, you have an organizing principle to where you have the plate of your life, Jesus Christ, his person, his purpose, his passion is the center of your plate. Most Christians I know in America have their plate full of everything else. A lot of times it's sports in the center of their plate. And they might throw a little Jesus on the edge, you know, like the, what's that stuff? Nobody, cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving. Is that what it is? You know how everybody makes that cranberry stuff that nobody likes? Maybe some, who likes that stuff? Anybody like? Whoa, I'm shocked. I thought nobody liked that stuff. But nobody puts a big hoop of big hoop? What? What was I trying to say? Big scoop, there it is. Couldn't get the word out. A big scoop of cranberry sauce in the center of their plate. You know what I'm saying? That's on the edge. That's what we do with Jesus. He's like the cranberry sauce at our Thanksgiving. Some people don't even like it. And some people, a lot of them do, but so they stick it on the edge and, you know, mix a little of the turkey in with that, and that tastes pretty good together, I guess. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Jesus deserves to be, he died to be the central portion of your plate, the hub of your wheel, and all the spokes of whatever you're doing, your giftedness, your activity should be around him because all living things are organized. All living things grow. All living things are organized. Next one, all living things respond to a stimulus. Man, I just remembered I forgot my stimulus today. I was going to bring a squirt gun in here and have somebody come up here, and I was going to squirt them with it and see what they did. I guarantee you they wouldn't do this. Psst, psst, psst. They would probably go, ah, you know. As I was going to do it to you, Deb. I was going to bring you up here and just squirt you with the squirt gun. And watch you respond to the stimulus. Can you picture it? Picture Deb up here. Oh, look at her. See how she responded? Sorry about that. I forgot the squirt gun. A stimulus is an agent that directly influences the activity of a living organism or one of its parts. Okay? If you're alive in Christ, then you're going to respond to God's activity in your life, his stimulus. Listen, whenever the Word of God is preached, in the power of God's Spirit, God is sending you a stimuli. God is speaking to you. Whenever you open your Bible, God wants to talk to you there. He wants to stimulate your faith. And the question then becomes, will you respond to that? Living, growing things respond to stimuli. You know what I'm saying? If he moves you to go forward, let's say, at the end of a particular service or a message, then do it. If he moves you to confess your sin, then do it. If he moves you to ask forgiveness of someone, then do it. If he moves you to reach out to someone, then do it. And if you allow what other people might think, okay, to dictate your actions in life, then what you're really saying is that what people think is a greater stimuli to you than what God says. And that may be why sometimes we feel like we're dead inside. Because if the opinion of man is more important than obedience to God, the life-giving spirit will be quenched and grieved in you. And that feels a whole lot like death. Respond to God's stimuli. Living things always do. They respond. Luke 8:15, the seed on good soil stands for, Jesus said, those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering in it, they produce a crop. James 1:22 tells us, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to obey it. Do what it says. Because living things respond to stimuli. So, what do we got? Living things, what's the first one? Grow, organize, respond to stimuli. And then you got the A, living things adapt. Adapt, fancy word to say, change. To adapt means to change. You know, it's impossible to grow without changing. Did you know that? The very word repentance in our faith. I mean, Jesus said repent and believe. That's the way you come into the kingdom. You got to repent and believe. That word means to change your mind. Change the way you think about something. And on the heels of changing the way you think about something, that begins to change the very purpose and direction of your life accordingly. That's what repentance is. It's changing. Many times we know that we're thinking wrongly and therefore we're doing things our own way. And God then intervenes with His Word. We're moved, we're stirred. But will you adapt to that? Will you change? There's a quote. It's not really a Christian quote, but I think it's true in all phases of life. It goes like this, change your choices, you change your life. That's very true. It's true in anything in life. Church, we have a purpose statement. It's on the wall right there that is totally in line with God and His Word because it centers on the person of Jesus Christ. To know Christ, to grow in Christ, to show Christ to the world. That's what we say we're doing here. We're here for that purpose. The question is, will we adapt? Will you adapt as an individual? Will we adapt as a church? Or are we guided instead by the way it's always been done, for example? A lot of churches are guided by, man, we never did it that way before. Last year we did this, the year before that, you know, century before that we did this. So Mark 7:9, Jesus gives a warning. He said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Not a good way to do church. We need in every committee in this church, in every ministry, in every board, to continually ask ourselves what needs to change, what do we need to adapt to this community, to this culture, to this school system, whatever it is, so that we can better accomplish our purpose. We don't need really more busyness. Do you need more busyness in your life? I've never heard somebody, when I ask them how they're doing, hey, I'm just not busy enough. I've never heard somebody say that. What we need is more adaptation to the purpose and vision of Christ. Living things adapt so they can grow. Don't be afraid. We need to get over that, or at least don't let our fear stop us from making the necessary adaptations so that we'll grow up in Christ as individuals and as a church. So what have we got so far? Remind me. Go racer. We got what? Grow, organized, respond, adapt. We're on the C, right? C, living things, all living things are made of cells. This is basic biology, basic cell theory in biology. Cell theory has 3 points. This is also in chapter 1 when I used to teach. Cell theory says that everything, all living things are made of cells. Then it goes on, number 2 principle says that cells are the basic units of structure and function in a living organism. And then the third thing, which I always got a hoot out of this, was that living cells only come from other living cells. Can you think of anything in biology in our culture that violates basic cell theory? I can. I always got a kick out of that. It's called evolution, you know, macroevolution. Yeah, it didn't make sense. But anyway, that's what basic cell theory is. Number 2 principle, they're the basic unit of structure and function. Applying that to the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul says to the Corinthian church, and by extension to us, I'm talking to you and to me, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You as an individual are like a cell, a basic unit of structure and function to this local body of Christ. You are its structure in that you make it up. When you are not here on a Sunday morning, or you disobey God on a Monday morning, it hurts. It hurts. And you are also its function. In other words, if we are to accomplish our purpose of making disciples by knowing, growing, and showing Christ. It's only going to happen as you as individuals know, grow, and show Christ. This church will grow in faith as you as individuals take steps of faith. You as individuals, you as small groups, committees, building new relationships, sharing your faith. Do me a favor, my fellow cells. Would you please reach out as a cell and invite another cell into your life and into this body? You're a cell and you make a big difference in this body. As you go, this church goes. So grow into Christ, be an active growing cell, and guess what will happen? Not only will you grow, but this church will grow. In all manner, not just in number. So, living things are made of cells. Go Racer, what do we got so far? Let's review. Grow, organize, they respond, they adapt, they're made of cells. This is one of my favorite ones. E, living things need energy. Therefore, they eat. You like this point, don't you? Yeah, me too. This is an easy one. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Fan into flame, Timothy, the gift of God which is in you. For God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, many of us, myself included, we lose our energy sometimes for God. I'm feeling pretty energized this morning. I don't know why. I just came in here and I sensed the Spirit in me and in this place, and I was pretty excited to see you guys and chat with you. I wasn't afraid at all. Some days I walk in here and I'm afraid. I'm just flat out afraid. I honestly don't want to talk to you. I'm afraid of you. Okay? I'm being honest, seriously. And I would rather avoid you because of my whatever it is. You know, it can be something I ate or something I'm just afraid of. I don't know. Vain imagination, whatever it is. Insecurity, weird stuff like that. But I don't know. I felt his energy this morning. I was thankful for it. Talked to him about it. But we lose our energy for God sometimes. And I think for me, sometimes it's partly because I spend time working for God, but I don't spend a lot of my time enjoying God. You know what I mean? Just being with him in his presence. My job's not a whole lot different than your job. Wherever, you know, if you got a job and you're working, you know, my job, my task, one of my huge tasks is to, this right here, do this, prepare for this. That's a task. I can do that in the Spirit. I can do that out of the Spirit. I got to get words on paper in an organized way to share with you from God's Word. That can be Spirit-filled and dynamic, or that can be a task that I check off my list. It really can be. But the energy, I believe the energy and what I've experienced in my life and what I see in God's Word, the energy, the joy comes from just enjoying God. Desiring and enjoying God. That's where the energy to grow comes from. And a lot of that I think is tied in prayer. In prayer. If you knew my wife very intimately, if you knew her well, you would know that in the last year and a half, she has really changed a lot, grown in her faith in incredible ways. And a lot of that is because of her prayer life. She spends hours in prayer every day. Gets up when she gets Justin on the bus. She comes in, gives me a kiss because I'm still in bed, and she heads over here downstairs in a room off by herself to bust the book and pray. And she's here till 9:30, 2-3 hours. She comes back, and one day she comes up. I'm getting ready, and I was doing my own Bible thing there at the dining room table. She comes in the house, and she says, she comes running over to me. I don't know if you've ever seen her do this, but she goes like this. And she said, and I stood up, and she grabbed me by the shoulder. I am so happy in Jesus today, she said. And she was sincere. You could see it in her eyes. It was all over her face. She just enjoyed being with the Lord. She didn't even want to come and see me. She'd rather stay there with him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a life-changing thing. It's your energy. It's your zeal. In the unhurried, clear-minded presence of God, you know what happens there? Problems become possibilities. Pain turns to praise. Crying turns to choruses. Fears turn into faith. And everything changes. No circumstances change. Just you. Just you. And then you become the agent of change in your circumstances. Everything changes in the presence of God when we see things through His eyes. Paul said in Colossians 1:29, "To this end I labor." Ooh, that sounds like work, doesn't it? Struggling with all what? His energeo, His energy, which so powerfully works in me. That's why Paul was such a dynamic guy. It wasn't because Paul was so awesome. It was because the power of God in Paul was so awesome. Living things need energy. And fellowshipping with God, walking in His Spirit, is when I tap into the fire, the passion, the joy, and the perseverance that I need to grow. And you got to think of it as eating. You know, if you ate your last meal at breakfast today, what would happen over the next week? Not only would you lose weight, you would lose energy. You would really feel bad after a few days. Maybe not even that long. And that's what happens to us in the Lord. We need to feed on Him, feed on His Word. That's where the energy comes from. Get some good food in you, and you got some good energy. Last one is R. Living things reproduce. Living things reproduce. Genesis 1 says, God created man in His own image. Male and female He created them. Don't miss that. That is huge in our culture, isn't it, right there? We are so messed up. How many genders are there? Not according to our culture. There's a whole bunch. A whole bunch. You feel like a cat? You want to self-identify as a cat? Anybody? Meow. You can do that in our culture. Whatever. I don't think there's an operation yet where they'd make you a cat, but stay tuned. Living things reproduce. God made man in His own image, male and female. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it." Listen, Adam was commissioned to fill the earth procreatively with the image of God, wasn't he? Here's what I want you to do. But when you get to Genesis 5:1, after Adam chose Eve over God, we read these tragic words. They don't sound so tragic, but they are. It says 5:1, when God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. That's not how we were designed to be. Listen, if you know Christ, you have been reborn, born again into the image of Christ to restore you to the purpose of Adam, which is to reproduce the image of God on earth. See, when you, by the grace of God, have the opportunity to play a part in someone receiving Christ, that's their new birth right there. Receiving Christ. Then you are fulfilling the command to pass on the image of God. Living things reproduce. And I would ask you, do you have any sons or daughters in the faith? You know, human reproduction occurs when a husband and wife are intimate and his seed is planted in the womb, bringing forth new life. Spiritual reproduction occurs when the bride of Christ, the church, is intimate in the relational sense with the groom, Christ, and his seed of the word of Christ is planted in the womb of the heart and bears fruit. New believers are born, see, and they need care and discipline just like children so that they can grow and mature to the point where they also can reproduce. See, what that means, what I just told you, is that everything about family on this earth, everything I just experienced with little Epha, Eric and Jess bearing this child, Epha, my own 5 biological, 1 adopted child, all that is just an illustration. You hearing me? Family on earth is an illustration of the eternal reality of the family of God. So if you're thinking family, that's what this life is all about. Not this family on this earth, okay? That's important because it's a grand illustration of the family of God.
Have you experienced this ultimate purpose? Living things reproduce, and if you are reproducing your faith in Christ in others, then I'll bet you this, you are surely growing. Philemon 1:6, and I'll grant that this is a difficult passage to translate, but I'm going to give you the NIV translation. Paul writes to Philemon, I pray, he says to Philemon, that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Did you hear that? Now, I've studied that passage a little bit, and I think that's a pretty good rendering of it. And it's basically saying if you're not sharing your faith, then you cannot understand your faith. Then you don't understand your faith. You know, I've heard a lot of people, I trust Christ, I know Christ is my Savior, but they don't know how to share that with anybody else. How can you know for sure about your own belief and relationship with God if you can't communicate that through the Word and through your own lips? If that doesn't come out your mouth, if you can't elucidate that to anybody else. I tell you, I don't know, this stuff gets me in a good way. What a life, you know, what a challenge, what an adventure, what a high calling to be alive and growing in Christ. Will you grow? Now, I don't want you to look at this message like, oh, check, 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 check. I'm going to do that so I can grow. You know, I don't think growing things do that. You know, we live life, we eat, we sleep, and we grow. God does that. So it's not like a do this, don't do that kind of checklist. I'm just telling you what living things do. And I'm telling you, the nearer you draw near to God and His truth, that's what's going to happen to you. This is what's going to happen to you. There's a verse in Mark chapter 4 where it says, all by itself, the soil produced the seed. Whether the farmer ate, drank, slept, or whatever, he threw the seed on the ground and all by itself it grew because God made it grow. And that's what happens in our lives when we get near to Him and desire His word. We just grow, just like living things do. Will you adapt? Let's start from the beginning. Will you grow? Will you organize around God's purpose? Will you respond to the stimuli of the Word of God? Will you adapt as God directs? Will you be a living cell to aid the body of Christ? Will you spend time in the presence of Christ so that His energy transforms the impossible into the certainty? Into the certain. Will you reproduce Christ in one other person this year? There's a goal for you. 2016. I'm gonna pray and seek God to lead one person to the Lord. Just one. If every one of us did that, we wouldn't have room for everybody in here, would we? That'd be awesome. Richard Evans. I'm going way over. Sorry about that. We'll do better next week. Richard Evans. I'm sorry, deacons. I told you I wouldn't do that. Take that back. Erase that from the tape. My bad. The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that it takes so long to begin. Don't wait around for God. Wait on God. Go racer. Grow organized. Respond. Adapt. Cells. Energy. Reproduce. Reproduce, reach out, share your faith. Speak the name of Jesus, share your testimony, share the gospel. Get in a small group and then double the size of the group. How's that for a goal? If you had 6 people in a small group and said, you know what, we're going to pray to God and seek that next year we're going to have 12 in this group. That'd be pretty cool way for you to grow and share your faith. Take your seat at the table, you know what I'm saying? Reproduce Jesus in and through your life. Go racer. Let's run the race. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the challenge of life. The challenge of life. That's what this is. What does it mean to be alive? And we look out, we see these things in the living world, and that's what it is. This is what living things do. And when we say our faith, we are alive in Christ, then we can draw that same parallel, that same analogy. And I pray, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their presence here this morning. I pray that those who are not able to be here for whatever the reason, Lord, that you'd be at work and produce these same characteristics of life in them. Bless them. Bless this church with your presence, your power, your purpose. I pray that we'd make the sacrifices that are necessary so that we can belong to you. Not in eternity. We know we're going to belong. We're going to be where we belong, and we belong to you. I'm talking about right now, right here in this life, and that we'd manifest the difference that you make. Pray for VBS coming up. The work needs to be done. The people that are doing it, the teachers, the guides, all that, Lord, that we just love on the kids of this community and their families with all the confidence and boldness of Jesus. Thank you for the junior church and the workers there and all the children's ministries and all the small groups and their leaders. I just pray you'd bless them with new zeal and growth, and that these characteristics would just flow in and through them by the power of your truth and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.